Proverbs chapter 11 this morning, please. The book of Proverbs. A book of the Bible that is so rich, is so wonderful, full of depth and a lot of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Proverbs 11 verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we pray and ask that you would help us, Lord, to grow and lean and learn from your word, Father. Whether we are saved a month or whether we're saved 50 years, Lord, we always need to learn more from you. And dear God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to understand what you want us to do today. Father, we pray you'd help us not just to be hearers, but doers. Lord, we pray you'd give us the boldness, the courage, Lord, the passion, the compassion, Lord, to be the light and the witnesses, Lord, that you need us to be. Because, Father, truly, you are worthy. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I find this verse very fascinating. He that winneth souls is wise. And this morning, we want to look at that very important business of wisdom in winning souls. In our discipleship booklet, we're on page 132, in case you're wondering. And if you have that with you, page 132. We talk a lot about Christ's Great Commission. We talk a lot about his commandment to evangelize, to the missions commandment. But the question that we want to look at more this morning is, how can you and I do that? Because I believe it is not just that he that is engaged is wise, he that is engaged in soul winning is wise. I believe it also requires wisdom. It requires a wise person to be engaged in soul winning. So many times, many different people may have told me, it's like, oh, I'd love to be more of a soul winner. You know, I've been saved and I want other people to see saved too, but the fact of the matter is I don't know really what to say. I don't have that wisdom yet. And I was encouraged then, well, there's really only one way to get it. or two, really. And that is by, well, looking into the Word of God and learning what to say. And the second one is to just do it more and more. Soul winning in many ways is like learning a new tool. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Amen? Or any new skills. And, you know, by just sitting there looking at the tool on the shelf and hoping that somehow it'll jump into your hands and it'll automatically do what it needs to do by its, that's not how things happen. Amen? And so Moses, though, had the same struggle. If any man had a lot of excuses, Moses did. He seemed to have been very creative with that. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 12, I just want to look at one of those very creative excuses. And you know, none of those are really new. We all have those at some point or another, it seems. And the Lord always had a very wise answer. Because if the Lord says, you know what, there's some wise business, some wise activities I want my child to be engaged in, guess what? It would be wise for us to do it. Amen? And winning souls, in particular, is one of those. And so Moses here is being called by God to, you know, lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, and to address Pharaoh and so forth. And he has all these excuses. Well, I don't know what to say. And so in verse 12, God answers him, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." You see, I find this interesting. Moses didn't have the wisdom and didn't have all the words figured out in his head in Midian or in the way or anywhere. No. God told him, you go And once you are in that situation, once you need the words, then I'll give them to you. Then I'll give you the words to say. So many times we find that God only gives us the grace that we need. And He gives us the grace that we do need when we need it. Amen? You say, why is that? Because that requires trust. That requires faith. That He will come through. Amen? And He does. And so God will give you the words to say. God will help you to be a witness. I would say if you're saved, you qualify to be a witness of the gospel. Because if nothing else, you can just share your story. You can share with others how Jesus Christ saved you. Amen. Now, we'll look into this. I think it's very needed, very helpful to memorize at least some basic verses and all of that. But at the bottom line, if you know what Jesus did in your life, if you're a Savior this morning, and I trust that you know that, amen. You're on your way to heaven this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. All because of what Jesus did. Amen. And so you have something to share with the world. In fact, you have the best and the most important message to share with anyone. But we're fearful, aren't we? People don't always are as excited to hear the message as we are maybe to give it. And I mean, who'd love to hear? It's like, well, you know, I hate to tell you, but, you know, you're really a terrible person. You know, you're just a total sinner, man. You know, and matter of fact, you're so rotten, you need some saving. I mean, who loves to hear that, right? Now, obviously, there's, you know, some maybe wise ways to go about that and to communicate that message. But the fact of the matter, it doesn't change that the gospel in some ways will always be offensive. And that the gospel will always be preceded by the bad news about our sin before we will understand the need to introduce the good news of the Savior. Amen? And so the apostles, though, they have the same fear factor in a sense. Did you know there in Acts chapter 4, they were praying for boldness as well, to be a witness, to not feel intimidated by those that were opposing them and those that were rejecting the Lord Jesus. So if the apostles needed to pray for boldness, I think it would be a wise thing for us to do so too. Lord, help me to be a more courageous, a more outspoken soul winner. Amen? Because we find that the Lord's heart was all about winning souls. Five times at least we find recorded in the New Testament the Lord's commandment for His disciples to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. And so when the Lord repeats something that many times, it's obviously very important to Him. Sharing the gospel is so important to Him that Jesus, when we study through the gospels as we do in the Gospel of Mark on Sunday evenings, we find that the Lord almost seemed to be in a rush at times to get from town to town to town. Because He knew He had still other people to reach yet as well. And you know what? When He was rejected, when His own family members, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, when they said, oh, you're crazy, man, you lost it. When His hometown tried to, you know, kill Him, basically tried to reject Him. When village after village was casting Him out, or they only wanted Him as long as He did miracles. And, you know, as soon as He set somebody free from some demonic bondage or you know, saved somebody, everybody was like, oh, no, now leave, you know. And you know what? The Lord must have gotten used to being rejected, and yet He never stopped, did He? He never stopped. And thank God He didn't, because He didn't stop is really ultimately the reason that you and I got the gospel all the way reached down today. Amen? And so rejection, you know, lack of results, as we would call it, none of those are good reasons to stop. It wasn't good enough for the Lord. And He has basically passed on His mission to the, in a sense, to you and to me. And we want to look at a few of the instances where He gives us the commandment to be witness and to share the gospel. And the first one, we look in that familiar passage in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, there in verse 18. And I want to look at here in a little bit also on some practical examples. ways that you or I this week can and need to, mind you, share the gospel. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to break down these verses here a little bit, because I think it is helpful for us to understand that Christ's commandment, or the commission as it's called, is more than just, well, you know, give up the gospel. We first see here the authority for his commandment. Jesus has all authority. He has won the victory over sin, over Satan, over death itself. I mean, who's going to defy his power? Who's going to stand up against his authority and might? No one will. And so Jesus has all authority. And so when someone questions our authority to bring the gospel to them or to others, guess what? We have the highest authority in the universe commanding us to do this. Higher than any government, higher than any personal opinions or preferences or likes or dislikes, higher than the cultural tendencies that we live in. The highest authority. So when we speak the gospel to every nation and every person, we preach that, or we share that in the name of Jesus Christ and given under his authority and commandment. You know, so many people have this idea that, well, your faith, your religion is just your private matter. Matter of fact, even back in Europe, that was something very, very common to me. Like, nobody ever talked about what they would pray about or what they read in their devotions, in the Word of God. That was just not something you talked about. That was almost considered prideful somehow. Really a very twisted way of thinking, quite frankly, because the Bible gives us a completely opposite idea. and of course, you know, your faith is very personal. There's no question about that. Your faith it underlies a lot of your very personal decisions, underlies your values and all of these things. But at the same time, your faith is never only private. Jesus Christ has made it our business to proclaim the gospel to everyone. And so in that sense, when somebody would ask us, what is it your business, what I believe? Well, the God of the universe made that my business. and so, no, you may not appreciate that and all that. I understand. But at the same time, I have a higher duty to care for your soul and to bring the gospel to you. The Bible teaches us that every born-again Christian ought to be ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so when we go in Jesus' name and we go in Jesus' authority. And so that's why verse 18 is so important to start out with. But then we see, secondly, how this is supposed to be done. It says there, go ye therefore and teach all nations. I find this interesting. We usually immediately go to the teaching and the preaching, the sharing of the gospel, but it starts out with the going first, doesn't it? Now, the going is not just, you know, well, to Africa or to Asia, some faraway place that needs it so desperately. Every place needs the gospel desperately. But it means that we go to the people that need it. So many times we sit in the four walls of our blessed church and we're just like, oh, we're waiting for the sinners to come in, you know, somehow. Well, that's going to be very unlikely to happen. I mean, God does do that. We pray for visitors every week. And that if they're not saved, they would get saved. But folks, really, it is our duty to go into the highways and byways. It is our responsibility to bring it to them. So go ye. And then we see here, the next one is, teach all nations. So, of course, this teaching here is referring to preaching the gospel, as we'll see in Mark 16. Every church should send out gospel preaching missionaries and support gospel preaching missionaries. Amen? And folks, I firmly believe that God wants to call people even from our midst. I really do believe that. If we're a gospel-centered church, if we're a Bible-preaching church, and if we're walking under the control of the Holy Spirit, it's inevitable that God will call some of us to serve Him in greater capacities, more and more, even to being a missionary in other places. But each and every one of us here locally can be a witness and needs to be a witness. That's part of being a Christian, just as prayers, just as church attendances, just as singing and reading your Bible is, just as breathing is, amen. I notice that when we as a church, or even myself individually, or you know, each Christian individually, when we cease to be a gospel witness on a prolonged basis, we end up what I called getting sour in our own juices. forgive me for the gross term, but that's the best thing I can come up with, getting sour in your own juices. In other words, we keep taking in our blessings and all that from the Lord, but we never give it out. We're a Dead Sea Christian, so to speak. And that is never healthy, and that is not good for us. And there's something very reviving, revitalizing. There's something very, really vital when we are willing to also give out to others the gospel. Well, they don't want it. They think they don't need it. That's not the point. Our part is to be obedient. Amen. And the second thing that we see here is that's not where it all ends. It moves on. It says, then baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So baptism here is not an option. It's a commandment. It is that first step of obedience for everyone who trusts Christ as Savior. And of course, it's that object lesson, so to speak, that physical picture that we identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And folks, it's been a great pleasure. It's been a great blessing to be able to finally be able to do that as a church, in the church. Amen. And I really praise the Lord for every person who makes that public profession, who moves forward in obedience to the Lord in that. That's part of making disciples. And then that's the next step here that we see. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So it doesn't end there. It moves on. This is a long-term relationship that we start with someone who gets saved. It then moves on into discipling them, teaching them all the things that the Lord has instructed us. So it's not finished when someone just gets saved and baptized and you'll leave them for their own. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to many others that I've talked with. You know, people would tell you about a Jesus Christ and how to get saved. They would maybe even encourage you to find some church and get baptized somehow, but that's about it. And then you're kind of left to fend for yourself and figure it out somehow. And that's terrible. There's then the cults are immediately waiting to twist us into false teachings. That, you know, we may struggle for years. How do I deal with the flesh? How do I learn how to have victory over sin? What does it mean to walk with the Lord, to have that relationship? All these basic things of what it means to be a Christian need to be taught. Need to be taught through teaching and through example, of course. And so we teach them all things that Christ has commanded. Not just the easy, not just the candy, so to speak. Not just the things, you know, everybody likes, but even some of the more challenging things. Even things that may involve for that believer needing to change, amen, and to adjust their life to what God desires from them. We see these commandments all throughout the New Testament specifically, of course. I mean, you study the letter to the Ephesians or Colossians and so many others, to the Thessalonians, where God gives us so many good instructions to live a successful Christian life and a safe Christian life. So God taught us to teach other Christians to observe and respect and obey every part of God's Word. You say, how do I do that? There's so many things I don't even know yet, myself maybe. And you know what? That's why we need to do it together in the church. That's why I believe God has organized that properly. God is a God of order, amen? And so that's one reason I believe why it helps to go together in soul winning. And do that in an organized fashion, as we try to do every Saturday. And I want to encourage you to join with us. If you can't make a Saturday, let me know. We'll figure out other days. But we teach one another when we do that together. But we also help one another in discipling and in just having this ordered and organized as the body of Christ. And to fill out together that great commission. That's what happened with Paul and Barnabas and Antioch. When they were sent out all across Europe, there in the Middle East, the Mediterranean, and so as a church, where yes, we're a hospital for the spiritual sick, so to speak, but we're at the same time also boot camp in a sense. We're a training center where we not just make new disciples, we also teach people how to disciple and how to soul win, amen, and how to be equipped better. Now, once again, we see, though, that is not in our power. We do the work, but the power is Christ's. Amen? Let me say this again, because this is so important. We are called to do the work, yes, but the power is Christ. That where we always need to rely upon Him. He is with us, going with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen? So that's His promise to those who are a gospel-minded, who are missionary and evangelistic-minded. Let's look at another occasion of that God's commandment to disciple. In Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now, at the end of our lesson, we have a list of very good tips on how to prepare ourselves personally as we go out soul winning. And let me just mention that prayer is absolutely vitally key. Amen? But also being prepared. That's where we, and if there's interest, we may do that together, where we maybe memorize some of the key verses in sharing the gospel together, where we can maybe learn how to share the gospel to one another first. Amen. First do it to a friend before we do it maybe to a stranger or to a family member that isn't saved. But I also want to encourage you. We try to give out so many helps in sharing the gospel. You know, one of my favorite ones, of course, is just a little gospel tract. It's a little tract to run on. Amen. And so that you can leave with someone when you don't have the opportunity to talk with them more. Maybe they're not quite open yet, or the situation doesn't facilitate it. But this should not just be a way to chicken out in some way. Rather, this ought to give us a help on how we can talk to people and the verses we can share. Because especially when we do have a relationship with people, I believe the personal witness is still always the best. With strangers, it depends on who it is. It may depend upon the situation. It may even depend upon the culture, the area we're in. I've been to many different places, just even across Canada, but even across the world. And each area responds differently to different methods, if you will. But and around here, I have found it very helpful that many times, you know, their faith or their spirituality, as people call it around here, is quite private, and people aren't very trusting to strangers necessarily about those things. But if you leave them a seed, so to speak, you leave them some of the Word of God that is an opportunity for God to continue to work in their life, even if they may not be quite open to talk with you personally quite yet. But I want to encourage you always to look for those personal opportunities, though. And as I mentioned, one of the least offensive, the least confrontational ways, so to speak, to share the gospel, I found, is to use your own life story. Well, let me tell you why I'm a Christian, if you don't mind, if you got a few minutes. You know, this is what God did for me. And you just tell it, because, I mean, you know, it's hard to argue with that, right? And it's hard to, hopefully hard to get offended at that, too. But at the same time, you can bring out the gospel truths in that. After all, it's called being a witness in Acts 1, right? A witness is somebody who shares what they've experienced, amen? But then we have many other ways as well. We leave door hangers on doors. And we found that to be an effective method as well for people to keep something, to have something when we leave. We've got these little gospel cards that have a gospel summary on the back. But then, of course, we get the little John Roman booklets as well. I encourage you, we have all those here. I think the booklets are here in the side closet. We can lay them out. We got the gospel tract out there every week. We got different languages there as well. That can be helpful. But the John Roman booklets are really wonderful because they tell you that there's a marked verse on page 42. So they have the Gospel of John and the letter to the Romans as a very easy to understand summary of what the gospel is all about and who is Jesus, what has he done for us and why. And so when you go to page 42, it has a Bible verse marked there, and it starts out with Romans 3, verse 23. Now, who could quote Romans 3, verse 23 for us? Anybody have it memorized? Yes, that's verse 10, I think, and then verse 23 is the... is for all of sin come short of the glory of God. Yeah, amen. Very good. And so it has this marked here. So even if you've literally never shared these verses before, with the help of this booklet, you could do it. And so it has a little number that leads you on to the next verse on page 46, where you go to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it goes verse by verse through some of the key verses. It has an important summary there in the back as well. So wonderful things you can take somebody through. Now, some people have mentioned to me, and I think it's a truthful statement, that, well, people don't read much anymore. Now, I think that's a very dangerous state for a society to be in, because it means that soon societies who are reading and who are thinking may overtake us. But at the same time, it is the way it is. And people are just used to instant gratifications on, you know, 15 seconds. Video is long already. And so there is so many ways online, though, if you are on those platforms, and I don't necessarily encourage you to be on there, but if you are, at least make usage of it. Amen? And be a gospel witness, whether it be on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever you think you need to use. We have, for example, on our website, I highly encourage you to check out our website. Denise has done some great work on our website. There's many, many resources on there. If you go to getgift.ca, for example, there's an animated gospel video there, I believe, on our website, trustjesus.ca. There's a tab there as well that has the gospel explained. You could share these and many other resources or the posts that are being posted on our Facebook page, on our church Facebook page every week. Even if you just share the video links to our live streams. I can't tell you how many times that people have shared. That's all you need to do. Just share something or just leave a comment or a like and you feed those, you know, those algorithms. And it helps for people to see that more. And already through these little anonymous actions, if you want, well, we can make a big difference. And people's lives can be affected. And folks, Every little while, maybe every few months or so, we get letters or emails from people who've watched our service or who've been to our webpage and been helped by it. And so don't underestimate that as well, all right? I found that the great majority of people that we've seen saved within these last 5 or 6 years here in Victoria, almost all of them first had an exposure to the gospel online. And so, as unfortunate as that is, it seems that's where most people spend their time. Try to use that and reach people where they're at. Amen? Paul went to the marketplaces. Well, today people are online. I haven't said that. If you don't use these platforms, I don't think... do something good for your mental health and don't go on there, all right? And Mark 16 is where we're going to look at. I just wanted to give you a few practical examples on how we can do that. Don't underestimate these gospel tracts, by the way. I know people who've gotten saved by gospel tracts left in public bathrooms. Or I know truckers who leave it at every rest stop and, they put it in these little advertising billboards or something. Or they lay it on the sink somewhere or wherever. You leave it with your waiter in the restaurant, or hand it to the drive-thru person, if you buy food somewhere, or at the till. There's some people that my wife or I have, the stores we go to regularly. We've given out so many tracts already that, like, these people know us already on a personal basis, and they have those tracts already, and it's wonderful. You can build a bit of a relationship that way. Anyways, let's go to Mark 16. And I know a lot of you are doing great gospel witnesses, in many personal ways, whether it be family, co-workers, neighbors, or so forth. But I just want to encourage us. This is at the heart of Christ, and so this is not something to be fearful about. This is not something about, well, one day when I'm a perfect Christian, I'm going to get to it. or when I have more money, when I have more time. We'll never have time, it seems. We need to make time to serve Christ, folks. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now let's break down these verses again. We first see here the gospel ought to be preached to every creature or every person. That's a pretty big job. That's a job that God has for me, every person. Now, we won't be able to reach every person in our lifetime. But you know what? We can help others by supporting missionaries and praying for them. And we can do whatever we can to light our corner of the world, so to speak. Amen? Folks, I really do believe our society is in this very immoral, very decayed, degenerated state because Christians have been quiet for too long. We've been too nice, if you will. We've been hiding behind while just loving everybody and doing charity work, which is, of course, good Christian things to do. But, it's much more than that. And, we don't want to offend anybody with the gospel. We don't want to, get into anybody's space or get confrontational. But, the Lord sure did. The Lord didn't shrink away. I mean, there are souls slipping into eternity in hellfire. But we're too nice to warn them. To every creature. Now again, this is a beautiful example of how God loves every single soul that He's ever created. And God wants every single person to be saved. Which of course is in complete contrast to the Calvinist doctrine of sovereign election. Let me just mention to you how God indeed, how His election works. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, He makes it very clear that we're elect according to foreknowledge. Romans 8, verse 29, whom He foreknew. And so we need to make sure we understand the mind of God the way He has revealed it to us. Amen? Because that's what a sovereign God does. And wherever we cannot grasp God's mind and God's working,
with our limited understanding, we just need to let God be God. Because His ways are far above our ways, Isaiah 55 says. Amen. So it's 1 Peter 1, verse 2, Romans 8, verse 29. Once again, we go to, you know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Well, does God know who my neighbor is? I mean, that guy is a terrible, you know, or my coworker, or, you know, does God know how me and my family member? He knows. You know what He also knows? What a rotten sinner you and I are without Christ. And yet He loved us. And yet He died for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so if every single soul, no matter how terrible, is worth Jesus Christ dying for and loving, then they're worth sharing the gospel with. Amen. It also reminds us that there is no other way of salvation except through faith in Jesus Christ. In John 14, verse 6, the Lord says, I am the way. Amen. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Jesus Christ is the only name given to us under heaven by which we must be saved. And so if there is only one way, and there is, if it's so exclusive, then that is a good reason to make the gospel such an urgent mission, such an important message. Now, verse 16 here, it is important to understand properly. Let me go back to Mark chapter. We're out of time. We'll just close off with that. Mark chapter 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, this is a verse that can easily be misunderstood. But you want to compare scripture to scripture, and you want to read the whole verse. He's not saying here in any way that you need to be baptized in order to go to heaven. Or in order to be saved. That is most definitely not what he's saying here. All right? It would contradict plain verses of scripture like Ephesians 2 verse 8. Not of works. Amen? And so baptism is for believers. It's not for infants. An infant doesn't get saved just because they're being made wet somehow in a church. The requirement before baptism is saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's why we believe it's wrong to baptize babies. It needs to be someone who has been able to make a decision to put their faith in Christ. Baptism follows salvation as a testimony of that salvation. And notice, he doesn't say that their lack of baptism condemns the soul to hell, but a lack of what? Faith in Christ. He says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so, the Bible makes it very clear, Romans 1 verse 16, is the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 7, Paul made a distinction between sharing the gospel and between baptizing. That was two different things. We do not get saved through baptism, but baptism is part of that next step in the Great Commission. So we're out of time here this morning, but I just want to encourage us this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord for two things. Lord, help me to boldness. To be a witness. And then secondly, Lord, give me wisdom. Yeah, when a soul is wise. Lord, I need your wisdom on how to love these people and how to approach my family members or co-workers or neighbors, whoever it may be. And so that we would be Christians that would not just receive the gospel, but we'd also keep giving it out. That is the design, the purpose God has given for us. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, you'd make us bold gospel witnesses for you. Lord, I pray you teach us, you equip us, Lord, how to be witnesses for your gospel. Lord, we pray many souls will be saved through the seed, Lord, that you allow us to give out. And we just trust you for the results. Lord, we just pray that you would do the work. And bless our morning service to come. We ask in Jesus' name.